Hey everyone, you're listening to part 3, which concludes our 3-part series with Brendan Henson.
The good thing is most IT people know, right? So I don't know. You're in construction, so you guys can wear whatever the heck you want, probably, right? You can
wear I had that Splunk shirt that said taking the SH out of IT. But HR didn't really like that one. So I had the Zerto shirt that said Masters of Disaster.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah.
Paul Yeader. He's both the CTO and the director of HR. How do you do that one? Since you mentioned HR, think about that. You could have just approved your own shirt. Wouldn't have even mattered. Wouldn't even matter because you were HR. So somehow he was like, yeah, like we lost the HR person and I figured I could handle a few of these tasks. I mean, let's say all the requests come to IT anyways, right? So might as well just take on HR at the same time.
Usually an IT experience can end in an HR experience, depending on what happened on that computer.
Not if you are both. You're both. That should be a conflict of interest or something. That should
Judge Dredd. The Judge Dredd of the CTO HR. It's the Judge Dredd role.
Paul Yeader. So shout out to Paul Yeader, CIO and head of HR. Crazy. I was like, so you can eliminate all of those like really lame applying for a job role where it's like, you know, we need 5 years of experience in this field. You need to have an MBA and all these other things. What are your thoughts on that, by the way? Do you have to have certifications in IT?
It depends. It helps in the interview because I've hired a lot of people in my past with certifications and they could pass a test, but we had one guy, I don't think he could troubleshoot he understood the troubleshooting process at all. He knew all the acronyms, he knew what the words meant, but he didn't understand how it all went together. So at the end of the day,
do they have that in IT? They have career job hoppers type of thing? Does that exist in IT?
Yeah, absolutely. Fortunately, you know, it takes an experienced leader to be able to interview through that, ask the right questions, find out what they want in their career, where they're going, and then ask questions around that. Usually when asking relational questions, like, did you ever have a boss that sucked? Or did you ever have this? And then, you know, and you're like, yeah, me too. And then next thing you know, the truth serum work. You start to find out a lot about your candidate. So
just, there was a soft intro. So everyone out there listening to Dissecting Popular IT Nerds, we've got Brendan Henson back on the show. I mean, I just had so much fun talking with you. I could have talked for hours and probably happen again, to be honest with you. I've literally thought about your company daily. So
really?
Whitaker Construction, I think you really had an impact on me with the soap and sock. I've brought up soap and sock on many, many conversations over the past 2 days when it was dealing with my kids. I was with my kids, you know, I was like, I'm getting rid of the shoehorn. We're going soap and sock now. I just want to let you know. I was joking around about that one time. Someone got like, you know, I don't think that's not a good thing to joke about, man. You know, I'm going to call some people to come see if I'm a good father or not. But I'm going to have a rude awakening real quick. Yeah. Soap and sock when they show up at the door. But really, really just your company had a very I never really thought about it that much because the podcast is growing so much now. And it started out with just me recording a show in a Starbucks drive-through because I was late and pulled up a Zoom call on my phone and recorded it that way with like Ira Furestein. I used to call him the LinkedIn rabble rouser. And he used to try to say all kinds of crazy things like this company will never sell and I'll never, you know, and then of course, like the company probably is going to sell or something. But with the company growing and trying to put together like, okay, so this podcast might become like a actual real thing. We've got multiple people working and stuff. I really want to do like an employee owned type of model. And I think that everything around it, like talking with you about, you know, how do employees take care of construction equipment versus how do owners take care of construction equipment? It's kind of like if I go rent a bunch of four-wheelers, what are those four-wheelers going to look like that I rent versus if I go buy a I don't know, Bombardier, 1100 cc brand new, four wheeler. How am I going to treat it? Like, what's the difference? Or I go buy a new bike. Let's say I go, can you rent motorcycles? Probably not, but you can imagine you wouldn't want to rent a motorcycle anyways. Yeah. So I'm really interested in the structure of that and how it works with taking ownership. And I really find that taking ownership was the thing. And I know that was the theme of kind of like our first, I don't know, degree of talking. And we had something planned for the second one, which I've already forgot, which there's probably something to be said about forgetting it. And I know we had a theme, and maybe you can, I don't know, remind me or something.
Well, I brought up some concepts about, I mentioned some Covey concepts and you called me out on it, being from Utah and you're like, oh yeah, Covey, in Utah. And when I was at the power company, I got benched for a hot minute and I took all the classes that were offered internally and I did like seven habits and whatnot. But when coming here to Whitaker Construction, they believe in rapport leadership. And when I was
That's what it
talking,
was. Yes. Go ahead.
yeah, when I was talking to my coworkers, rapport sounded just like Covey. And I was like, oh, you guys don't need to waste any money on
I
me.
took the 7 habits of highly effective people, and it just so you know, it did alter my life. It was life
Yes.
altering. It was life
Same
altering.
here.
You know how when you go through and you have to make the bucket list of all the things? Did you have to
Oh,
do that when you
yeah.
took the course?
Oh, yeah,
I went back and I
absolutely.
looked at my bucket list from that course that I took, and this is Starbucks paid for it back when I worked at Starbucks and just got out of college and was completely directionless and was married with a couple kids, and I was like, how am I going to pay for the diapers? And I was like, you
Yeah.
got it. So I was working for Starbucks, but I was in their management program. They sent me to 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I wrote down that long bucket list. I went through it the other
Yep.
day. I think I've checked off every single thing on the list. I had crazy stuff on the list too. One was like buy a motorcycle. One was like own a house in the ocean. One was like, it was like they're all checked off. And I thought that was
You
like a
cracked
dream.
open your paper day planner and was looking at your bucket list and your Covey day planner. Yeah, it's right there. I see it. That's
I
awesome.
still can't even I still can't make it work on a calendar, and with all the technology that we have, if you saw like my if you saw I'm like just this like old crazy like stack of
Yeah.
paper guys on a desk. It's
Yeah.
just how my mind works creatively.
Well, it helps. And maybe that'll help us understand a few concepts because I wasn't going to go to Rapport. I was nominated to go and I was like, oh, I don't really need to go. I got this Covey thing down. I believe I'm rocking it. And then I had a friend of mine who I went to high school with. He just got back and he'd been back for like 6 weeks and his dynamics changed in his ownership and accountability and how he was showing up. And I was like, whoa, wait a second. I know Jeff. What's going on? I go talk to him. He's like, man, it was that rapport training. It really helped me understand these principles a little bit better. And I wanted to make some changes and I didn't know that I could.
Attention, all of my IT leaders who don't know a lot about telecom. Many of you are still managing a pile of junk and you've inherited a telecom silo. I call it a telecom time bomb. Many of us are ignoring it because the enormity of tasks surrounding a phone system replacement is overwhelming, and there's a constant barrage of direct sales reps trying to get you into a new UCaaS system today. And the whole process ends up being filled with an unforeseen comedy of errors. However, for those of you tackling such a task, you must answer: number one, are you going to go Microsoft Teams or are you going to do something else? If it is Teams, then there's only three ways to do it, and the worst way is by just clicking the button and paying that expensive voice-enabling Teams button in your CSP's portal or asking them to do it for you. Okay, so you're not 100% sold on Teams yet because your company has a unique group of end users. Good for you for caring. Then you may be wondering, and you need to answer all of these questions: which platforms and interfaces have easy to self-manage portals, GUIs, so that you can make moves, ads, and changes on the fly? Which platforms are the most upgradable and have functioning APIs? Who will truly interoperate with your systems? Who's going to give you free equipment and headsets, of course, and be the most cost-effective? Who's going to support your team the best with fast technical support in minutes, not days? And who's going to meet your compliancy requirements now and in the future with flexible user licensing? How about network preparation, ensuring quality of and properly layering voice applications? How do you confidently ensure a smooth cutover and avoid going in with your fingers crossed? How do you negotiate all the legal ramifications, FCC regulated SLAs that affect your terms and conditions? Things like elasticity clauses and out of contracts if they fail to deliver. How do you know what your end users are thinking and how to deal with explaining technical to people 1,000 times that don't know how to do a transfer? And even if you have all this down, what do you do if you have limited time to research, evaluate, and confidently plan a network communications upgrade that will surely impress your key stakeholders with return on investment, CapEx, OpEx, all of this stuff? evaluating where do you get started in an ocean of vendors, which provider mix is going to best fit your company's culture versus just asking your peers who they use or shopping VoIP.com or Googling who's the best, and then you've got all kinds of people showing up in your inbox. This is why this is the classic put-off project where no one wants to take on the planning from start to finish, everything from auditing bills to surveying staff, researching providers, sifting through information, meeting with vendors, requesting proposals, ensuring all the effective transition without outages, and managing all of the negative Nancy naysayers who are surely going to complain about the new phone system. Let me and my special team of telecom nerds give you all of the rollout maps, RFP grids, and hold you by the hand for free, and even pit providers against them and give you all of the data information on what the lowest pricing has ever been with benchmark level pricing. Everything from seeing how far you can throw those old phone systems to every detail you need surrounding Microsoft Teams integrations or all of the best UCaaS providers with custom and in and out of the box APIs. Also, some of you are dealing with who's the best fit contact center software providers for your unique group of end users and agents and staff. How can you leverage AI software to drastically increase agent efficiency? And let's not forget about workforce management tools to ensure proper staffing, all while avoiding annoying meetings and sales reps telling you it's the end of the month, President's Day specials. All you need to do is email telecom@popularit.net and we will give you all of the information, everything you need, and hold you by the hand for free. And if you like the information, great, do whatever you want with it. And if not, you can tell us to go pound sand.
Okay, where do I go for this? I'm already hooked. All right, I'm sold.
Yeah, so
can I get 5 minutes on your calendar to go over our rapport training with you, Phil, tomorrow at whatever? Well,
I was Googling it, and they're like, well, they did this study. You know, you go to training and
is it rapportleadership.com? Rapportleadership.com? Yeah. They better pay me for this advertisement. They need to pay me for this.
Well, givers gain. So I think it'll come around. So I'm looking it up, and they talk about this study, and they have these researchers go in and look, and they're like, okay, let's see how these concepts stick after 6 days to 6 weeks, and let's go 6 months. And the researchers were all like, no, we're not going to bother with a 6 month study because nothing ever changes. And, you know, in 6 months, there's no way that none of this is going to, people go back to who they want to be or who they naturally are. Mm-hmm. Well, with the rapport way of doing things, getting the instruction and then having to do the work at the same time and having to pass ourselves, that was rough. I mean, I got to do one of the first activities was to give a talk on a subject. And I think maybe one person in my class was past that process. Mm-hmm. Right up front, and I'm failing, you know, and I'm looking inside and I'm like, what in the heck? Why can they do it and I can't? And so every time, you know, and I had to sell like a fictitious board member, an employee to the board. That was another thing that I had failed on. And I had to eventually pass myself on these things. And in doing them, I learned a lot about myself and why I held myself back. Really personal, down to things that happened when I was a kid, where I had a lot of loss early on in life. Loss is inevitable. We're not getting out of this alive. As a young adult or a young teen, you know, losing my mother and my best friend to cancer and things like that was kind of rough. So how I was showing up in life was ultimately impacted by those events subconsciously. Yeah. So even to the point of when I give my kids hugs, I would give them side hugs because I didn't want to embrace them internally, because I felt like if I got too close to them and when my card was pulled, I would leave them a gap. And so when I got home after having these insights, I hugged my kids for the first time and they started crying. I was like, man,
You're making me cry.
I haven't showed up for all these years. What in the hell's matter with me? You know, and I started activating these concepts, and they're simple leadership concepts. I was listening to the director of IT for Cummins, and she was talking about these leadership concepts at a very simple, like she had just come upon them and was embracing them. But I don't think we fully know why they work. But when I went through rapport, I fully understood. And I came back and my kids are like, wow, there was dad before rapport and there's dad after rapport. And even at work, Mike Whitaker's like, watch out for Brandon. He leads with his chin. We talk about being samurai warriors with no armor on our back. I mean, when I was at Pacific Corp Berkshire, I was always about cover my ass, right? But now after rapport, it's like, dude, I don't care about what's coming to get me as long as I'm doing what's right.
You're talking about Jessica, right?
Yes.
Jessica, yeah, she's amazing, man.
I really love that podcast. I had to rewind it a few different times because I got interrupted.
She's like super smart, super smart. Well,
she had that leadership stuff locked down, and I was like, wow, that's great to hear that, because we don't get to see that very often, because a lot of people were given the role, and in the role we get the badge and then we get the gun. But not here, man. They're like, well, you have the role, but you get to convince everybody and you need to bring them along. And I'm like, well, how do I do that without my badge and gun? Yeah, you'll figure it out.
Okay. So yeah, we need to sponsor these rapport guys, or they need to sponsor us or something. I don't know. Your logo's on their website. 99% of graduates refer friends and family. So I guess you're not the 1% because you're referring everyone right now. What are some of the, maybe can you give us a little bit of insights, or maybe just a couple takeaways that people can walk away from this show, regardless of whether they go to rapportleadership.com and giver's game, rapportleadership.com. Again, not getting paid for this. Okay. So you guys can trust everything that comes from this show, because I have yet to get paid from anyone. We may have Ring Central sponsor us. Okay. May. Ring Central is a good company, as long as you don't have to get stuck calling, I don't know, Manila. Nothing wrong with Manila, but I know how to get around that because we have a very special enterprise support team in conjunction with our back-end department, by the way. If you really are looking for Ring Central, you need to call me. I'll talk to you. They're not a paid sponsor yet. Not Ring Central. Okay. So rapportleadership.com. Let's give a couple takeaways or something. Can you like share something? Are you're not under like some kind of weird, like, you know, we can't share anything that we've learned from the program. I'm sure that's not, because we want everyone to come on over there. What can we do? What did we learn?
Well, I've been very careful on what I want to say I got to do, because if I had an opportunity to study, I'd be prepared. It's about being unprepared. It's about being outside of our comfort zone. Mm-hmm. There are simple tasks like giving a speech or setting up your mission statement, or
what's that? Setting up what?
Mission statement.
Okay. Yeah, I got you. We did that in Covey.
Yeah. So you do a few of those things. However, it's full immersion. So it's not just getting the instruction, it's getting to do the work.
And how long does this take?
3 days.
Oh, cool.
3 really long days. Day 2 is like a 16-hour day, just so you can get all the instruction in a 3-day period.
Okay.
And then, basically, when they sent me to rapport at work, they got me this princess backpack. They took me to dinner 2 days before I was going, and they handed me this princess backpack. And I was like,
no problem. Wait
a
second.
This isn't a Covey training. What the hell did I sign up for? You know, and I'm looking in this princess backpack, and there's like tissues, there's breath mints, there's a few funny things. And I'm like, what in the world am I getting into? And so they're like, okay, from here on out, you must wear that backpack through the airport everywhere you go. And so I'm wearing this princess backpack, and I'm going through the airport, and I'm running in another person with one of these backpacks.
And hey, you.
I'm looking at them, and man, I'm like, you going to rapport? I'm like, yeah. So we get there, and
it's awesome. And
we're like, this is gonna be fun, right? And he's like, yeah, it hurts, you know, good leadership training. I could sharpen my saw, you know. And yeah. and we meet down there, and then it started, and I was like, whoa. This is some serious stuff, and it requires action on our part. And Covey didn't require, you know, Covey training didn't require that. However, I did have some empowering moments like that 7 Habits stuff. I still use it today, but it's like training wheels compared to the bicycle, which was rapport. So,
okay. I love it. So
I had 3 classes: leadership breakthrough 1, which was about me, and then power communication, which I went through with my wife. I get to learn the modalities on how we communicate and how to communicate to other modalities, like what my preference is and how to recognize what someone else's preferences are in order to get effective communication. Like Apple likes to use the buzzword gain agreement to be able to do those certain things. It's not nearly as intense as leadership breakthrough. And then breakthrough 2 is about the teamwork. And so breakthrough 2 was kind of like, you get to do some outdoor activities as a team. And then through those activities, you learn how to make high performance teams. So the concept is you get on the USS Good Enough,
mm-hmm.
which is the ship you're aboard, and then you get to do these activities, which will help us learn how to, as leaders, build better teams or get everybody involved in the team.
So what do you think makes a great team?
First of all, every task or every process can have a different leader or a different person in charge or a head person based on the type of task or process, because that's more something more aligned with somebody on your team than yourself. Just because I'm in the leadership role or I'm responsible for the individuals doesn't mean I always have to lead. I can always nominate somebody in the group to say, hey, this is something you love to do. Why don't you take the team and I will help you be successful.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll do it your way and make this a better process. So I think for a lot of us, sometimes we get stuck in our roles and we believe that we are the ones that have to come up with the idea, or we have to do it our way, or it's not ours. But really, if we empower other people and the things they're passionate about, that's where we have the most success.
I'm a firm believer in delegation. Delegate everything. And that's where I try to tell my wife, but I need to learn how to communicate with this other modality. I need to communicate with this other modality, because I tell my wife, you know, just, what are you doing all this work for? Why are you doing dishes? Why are you vacuuming? Like, when you're gone, just so you know, like, I don't do anything. They're vacuuming, they're doing dishes, they're cooking. Like, what are we having for dinner? We're having ice cream and candy bars. Cool, let's do it. You need some money, you know. Who's in charge of brushing teeth tonight? We're not brushing teeth tonight. Cool, let's do it. No.
They did this other process that was kind of like four lenses with Covey, but mm-hmm. it's called Emergenetics, and it was through power communication. And doing that process, I found out that, well, there's a reason why there's certain tasks that, you know, my wife isn't best suited for that I need to do because of our preferences. So are you a big D&D nerd?
I have 8 kids. Okay. We play Catan.
Okay.
We should, I mean, and I had to throw away Risk because there's certain games that they'll either take too long or it'll create a big fight in the house.
It lasts for weeks. Yeah.
Axis and Allies gone, you know,
dude,
no.
Settlers of Catan was a big deal.
Yeah, man. We're Catan. Like, Dad, can we play Catan tonight? So, you know, and then they fight, and then we have to, like, it depending on the night, the Catan will go either fast or slow. Like, it depending on the mood that everyone's in. If they're in a crazy mood, then it's like, I'm like, okay, we have to have a timer for the trade section, because then people are like, okay, I'll give you 2 for this. I'll give you 3 for this. I'll give you 1 for this. I'll give you 2. And I'm like, no, stop the trading. Stop. It's keep the game going. It'll be like 10 minutes will go by with like 2 people arguing. Like, anyone have this for that? Anyone? You know, I'm like, no, they said no. Go move on.
What about this Twix I have over here? I took the last Twix. I'll give you the Twix. Give me a break.
Yes. So. Anyways, I don't know if that matches up with your D&D thing, but we play.
No, I just think we all have different attributes, different preferences.
We'd love to play D&D, but it has some some aspects to it that are just kind of weird or something. But anyways, yes,
this is my profile, and it just basically gives me an idea based on how I answer the quiz.
Yeah,
and the thing is like I was just kind of geeking out on the data, and I was like, you know how those adaptive tests are when getting
that reminded me of that weird little like 7 colors code. What do they call that mental quiz that everyone takes? And it puts you in like, oh, you're like an 8, or you're like you're an energy person or something. Do you know what I'm talking about? The anagram test or something. It looked kind of like an anagram test.
Yeah. It's a test like that. So it comes back and it tells us individually how we like our data.
Yeah. Yeah.
How we like to interact. And and so in learning that and learning these power communication skills, it ended up making my marriage a ton better, because we were both communicating effectively, because we knew how to communicate with each other. We knew how to listen. And then we also knew how to talk to our kids, because they each had their own modality. There's 3 modalities: kinesthetics, auditory, and visual.
Yep.
And our youngest is a strong kinesthetic. And after we learned that, we're like, oh gosh, you know, if we did X, Y, and Z different, we could get that kid moving in the direction that will help her grow.
And it's amazing that we throw kids into a public school and we think one size fits all.
Exactly. And
that's
so
why I homeschool. I mean, that's why I homeschool, to be honest with you. Anyways,
the parenting rules, one, what works for one kid to get him moving along doesn't work for the other one. And you've got eight.
Yeah, no, I've seen it all. I've seen quite a bit. Hopefully not all of it. I've seen periorbital cellulitis, whatever that is, the spider bite to the eyeball twice. That's kind of crazy. Yeah, I've seen a lot of them, had a lot of emergency rooms. We've had broken bones. We've had, you know, like just crazy whack things, kids setting things on fire. I mean, it's just, you know, and you'd think like, it's just, I thought I taught you. I thought I taught you not to play with matches. Yeah. And your brother, my brother's the fire chief too, you know? So, but you know, what's interesting, the fire chief, usually it was like, you know, he got caught when he was a kid for being a pyro, and now he's like the fire chief, you know. So
not Fire Marshal Bill, is it?
No, that was a great skit though. So you've got this fish tank here, and then you've got this electric toaster, and it's over the fish tank. And you're
yeah.
The thing is everyone in IT leadership knows what we're talking about, because everyone in IT leadership is of a certain age now, because they probably played around with something around the dawn of the internet or before it, or before it was mainstream. And so if you did, then you knew Jim Carrey when he was on In Living Color. You just knew that.
Heck yeah.
You just knew. In like sixth grade or fifth grade, whatever it was for me, you played Mike Tyson's Punch Out. You knew what a game changer that was.
Yeah, and every once in a while we say, homie, don't play that.
Soap and sock. Soap and sock. The Wayans brothers are crazy, dude. Key and Peele is like the new version. It's like the new version of that.
Oh, really? I'll have to check it out.
I've just
seen the shorts, like, you know, can't say the name right, teacher.
Oh, yeah, the substitute teacher. Yeah, Aaron. Hey, Aaron. Yeah, that's great. That one. Okay. There's one. Yeah. Anyways, completely off topic, but yes, this is why I love talking with you. So, is there anything that someone can change now? Is there something that you think would be like a common thing that people might be doing that, you know, yeah, I understand the kinesthetic. Some people need to learn by doing, which is a kind of a big deal in IT. Sometimes you don't learn until you get out in the field and you start breaking things and screwing around with stuff and banging your head against the wall, and then you figure out and you'll never forget it again. And kinesthetic learners are like that. You do it, you're not going to forget that. I think a lot of language is kind of like that too. You got to get out and practice and forget and make mistakes and look like a fool and do all that type of stuff.
I think the biggest thing that, like, through my own personal journey, the past is over with. A lot of folks, including myself, have used that as an excuse of the reasons why we are who we are today.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a choice. It's literally a choice. If we want to be more successful, that can be a choice too. And it doesn't have to be because of what happened yesterday.
Doesn't at all. Absolutely, yeah. Does not at all. Couldn't agree more. You can choose to live life right now. Anyone listening to this episode right now, you can choose right now at this second that your life has changed forever.
Absolutely.
And then, it doesn't have to be that way. Your life has changed forever. And that's why I think we have a disease as society, and social media doesn't help. Pictures and camera phones and selfies and all this garbage doesn't help at all. It's one of the reasons why I don't do pictures and I don't do video podcasts. This is an audio only podcast. Maybe it's because I'm very audio. I actually got labeled audio learner I thought I was kinesthetic, but I'm actually audio.
Auditory. And
auditory, yes.
Audio. I'm watching. I can see it. So.
And, I was mistaken myself. Where were we? Changing life yes. Instantly. But yeah, one day I just decided, I'm just not going to, I don't know if it was like an old Tony Robbins Awaken the Giant Within moment or something back in the day, or it was. And I do think he's a little bit of a charlatan. I know everything. I know quite a bit about the back. Just anyways. But I mean, some of his work's very, very helpful. And he's a human. I think one day I just decided, I'm not going to make excuses anymore. And I think taking responsibility, and again, back to Stephen Covey, what is responsibility? It's the ability to choose your response, and we can choose how to respond to any given situation.
Well, I think the other thing that comes to mind is one of the classes I was made aware that we're only 2% conscious every day. 2%.
Mind blowing. It's true.
And when we're unconscious, it's when we're in autopilot.
Mm-hmm.
We're not having independent thought, when we're not creating something, mm-hmm. when we're not having an interaction with another human.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, how many times have we sat there and was like, checked out of that meeting and we're swiping up on Instagram or we're looking at Google News and we're like, and we're not even present. And what happens when we get home?
We go to bed every night. We know what we're going to see on Twitter or whatever, or X, you know, we know what we're going to see on it. It's the same thing. It's the same thing being shoved down our mind controlled throats. We're in the matrix. We're in the matrix.
So, you know, like in Dune, like when that guy wakes up, what's his name? Paul Atreides, the sleeper has awakened. I mean, think about that moment when you decided.
You can.
Yeah.
Just do it. I mean, and people are going to get so mad because there's so many psychology people out there like, no, you can't just decide to not be depressed. And like, okay, I get that to a certain degree, but that's not really what we're talking about.
I don't know. If I start thinking about dog crap and... Next thing you know, I'm smelling it. Next thing you know, I'm seeing it, stepping in it.
I'm a huge Zig Ziglar fan. I'm a huge Zig Ziglar fan. Quit your stinking thinking. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, it literally goes right in line with what you just said. How many times do we find ourselves in the shower? This happens to me, having a complete make-believe argument with somebody. It's a complete make-believe. Boy. I'm going to tell that guy. I'm going to give him my piece of my mind. And next time I see him, and if I have that, you know, can't believe he did that. For 3 years, he hasn't called me. And, you know, why hasn't my brother called me in like 3 years? And does he not remember this? Blah, blah, blah. And I've tried to do everything for him and blah, 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 blah. You just have these arguments that are just completely senseless and you're arguing and wasting energy.
I love that you brought that up because I just remembered another thing that happened when I got back from Rapport. Mm-hmm. And so my daughter, she's 11 at the time and it's Sunday. So we're getting ready to go to Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking over at my daughter and she's got that kind of like a frown and looking down and her head's lower than her shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at her and I'm like, wait a second. What? I recognize this. Mm-hmm. I just witnessed this at training. And I'm like, hey, Lily, what are you telling yourself right now? And she looks at me all shocked. Like, what do you mean? What are you talking about, Dad? And I'm like, what are you saying to yourself? And she's like, nothing. I'm like, oh, okay. Why don't you just tell me that
I only have 20,000 thoughts every millisecond. So
yeah. Tell me that I am beautiful. Just say to yourself that I am beautiful. And she looks at me and she's like, no. And I'm like, oh, okay. You won't say that. She's like, no. And I'm like, oh, so do your friends, they tell you you're ugly. And she's like, no, my friends, they wouldn't be my friends. What? Tell me why I'm ugly. And I'm like, oh, okay. Your friends tell you you're not capable of doing something. And she's like, looks at me. She's like, what are you getting at? And I'm like, so what kind of friend are you being to yourself right now? Mm-hmm. She looks my wife dead in the eyes. She's like, Dad cannot go to training ever again. And she looks back at her. He's like, well, it's on you. I mean, it's up to you. You got to say the words. And
my kids are going through this thing right now of making fun of each other. Not just like on purpose for fun. You know, like they think it's like they're just doing it to like, no, we're just teasing each other. We're just like making each other like, you know, tougher or something. You know, I don't think it's a healthy thing. They think it's a healthy thing. I get it because it's might be like a defense mechanism of like coping with like the world and like all the things that the bullying online and all these different things, you know, but I don't think a family should have to do that to each other. I think they should be lifting each other up instead. And you know, even if it is joking or whatever you say it is, it's still, why make that 90% of your banter back and forth? Why make that, something funny like on the side, I get it, but no, like 90% of the time should be like, dude, you're awesome, thank you, let me help you. I don't know.
Well, I don't understand it, but when it becomes a personal conversation with ourselves, like we look in the mirror and we're like, we're not good enough. Well, I'm a firm believer in to think is to create. So I told her and she says, okay, I'll say the words, Dad. And she goes, I'm beautiful. I'm like, oh, great. So you said the words, but I don't believe it. Why don't you
because
say it? Yeah. And so she said them again and she's like, fine, I am beautiful. And her head came up on her shoulders, her countenance in her face lightened up, everything. And then I looked at her, I'm like, good. Now that's the kind of friend we are to ourselves from here on out. Because that's
people yell, I believe. And I used to make my kids yell, I believe. It wasn't even like, I can't even yell it now in this micro because it'll probably like pierce everyone's eardrums. but I used to have a team and I'd be like, so, you know, what's going on? They're like, who are you meeting with today? And they're like, I'm meeting with this person. I'm like, I look around the room and I'd be like, we had a guy named James Hom. We called him Hollywood Ham. And everyone had a nickname on my team. We had the Lioness. I think that was Megan Mitchell. I should tag all these people in this episode. And Andrew Fabricus was just known. Andrew Fabricus was just known for coming in with this kind of like long face. Fabricus, we're gonna post. I'm gonna tag you on this one. This is so old. This is like 14 years ago when I ran a team and we are like doing like some Cisco consulting, like this Cisco startup. And I look around the room and I'm like, I don't think you believe. Like Andrew, I don't think you believe. And he'd be like, oh, stop it, Phil. Stop, Phil. Please, please, Phil. No, Phil, stop it. And I'd be like, James, do you think Andrew believes? And he'd be like, I don't think he believes, Phil. I don't think he does. Megan, do you think Andrew believes? He's like, no, I don't think he believes, Phil. And we used to like, I used to write down on these little yellow pieces of paper. I'd write their name on like a yellow sticky note and I'd like throw it down on the floor and it'd be in the middle of the room. They'd have to get up from like, you know, the boardroom desk or whatever and come to the middle of the room. And it's interesting you have like a Star Trek kind of like background because it was just like Star Trek. They had to throw their arms back and yell, I believe, like the tractor, like the tractor beam was like pulling up their chest, like, you know, like into the sky.
I know? Love it.
And then there's no, Phil, I'm not doing this today. You know, and then the room would start going like, Fabricus, 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 Fabricus. And we'd be yelling. My screens just blipped from that. And we used to get so loud and all the other teams would be like, what is going on in this guy's morning meeting? And the room would be shaking so much that it would be snowing in the room from the ceiling tiles. The ceiling tiles would be like bouncing up and down, like some dust would be coming down. And then he'd just be like, oh, okay, I believe. And would be like, I don't know. I don't think that was it. I don't think that was it. So then I started bringing that stuff home and my kids would be like, I believe. And I think we need to bring that back. We need to bring back.
We don't even get to use the try word at home anymore. So.
Oh no, no, no. Oh, absolutely dude. Not.
And we don't should on ourselves anymore. And my wife, she got pretty perturbed at first. She's like, we're done with this try business, okay, kids? And all my girls looked at me and they looked at her with that grin, like, oh, it's not over. Mom brings up try one more time. We're going to be like, try, really? We're going to try?
Do or do not.
There is no try. Exactly. And so all these leadership concepts came home and they still are a part of our culture at home and at work. And to the point where you talked about, I believe, there are things that we do here at work because most of us here in leadership are rapport grads to some extent. Not all of us are master grads. But because how I show up, one of my vendors, the CIO of their company came, or CEO of their company came to meet with me and said, hey, we noticed something different with Whitaker and our interactions. Can you just give me an insight on what's going on and how Whitaker is different? You know, and I started talking to him about rapport. Their entire organization, I think 70% of them are master grads and they've made more business because of the way they show up every day and because they understand these concepts to heart than they've ever done in the previous 5 years. So it's been really interesting to see how this, imagine casting a rock into the water and we have this ripple effect and we're a ripple and we impact somebody else and they become a ripple because of, you know, Phil, you're helping us with your podcasts. And your audience and your invitees are helping us and we're taking their information and we're casting it out to help others because at the end of the day, we might not all own Teslas or have a mansion, but we will have these experiences and these opportunities and that's what it's really about.
There's certainly enough to go around for everyone to have a mansion. Not that I need one, nor do I want one.
You said you had 8 kids. I could imagine
what I found is there's a fine line between too big of a house and too small of a house, right? Too big of a house is like you just got crap everywhere.
Oh, everywhere.
And then too small of a house is every window's broken and every shade's destroyed. I'm in that one right now. I tried to go from too big of a house to too small of a house. I'm like, oh, we'll fix it up. We'll do like an addition, you know? I went from, yeah.
This is sounding, I'm relating. Let's hear it.
No, seriously. So I had, let's go through Phil Howard's houses that he's had. Let's see. I lived in Virginia. That was cool, but we had the twins when we were in Virginia. Then we moved to Massachusetts to be closer to my parents in their old age. And we had two more kids there. So that house was probably, I think that house was the biggest house because it was kind of out in the country. We had 3 acres. The whole town was like, it was like a 1400, it's Princeton, Massachusetts. Anyone wants to Google Princeton, Massachusetts, you're going to find there's no gas station in town. We have a volunteer fire department, right? So we had a pretty big house there. But what I found with when you have 8 kids, you don't need 3 bedrooms, a secondary living room and a dining room and an office. No, you need like 5 bedrooms or 6 bedrooms. You don't need all these extra rooms. So we had this big like family room that had couches and a fireplace in it. That just became like a room that was like scattered Legos and just crap everywhere. It wasn't like what I should have done is partitioned it off and made other rooms, but then there's no sell. You can't resell the house. And then it's this weird kind of like place and stuff. So that was a house that was.
Did you at least have slot cars too? Cause this is exactly tracking what I got going on.
Yeah. You know, well, we had, here's what we had. This was out in the country. So it was one of the most fun places we ever had. So I had a Kubota UTV 900 that all the kids could jump in the back. And we used to collect cordwood and burn wood in New England as much as you can burn, you know, and we're out splitting woods. And every year, you know, the kids got to stack 8 cords of wood. And we, you know, try to make it a contest. How can you stack 8 cords in 2 days? And anyone that's stacked 8 cords of wood, you probably know how much work that is. And, you know, let's make the beehive this year. And then next year, let's make the fort and stack the wood this way. And so you take the UTV through the woods. There was a beaver pond. There was some beavers damming up some places. We had snowmobiles. That was a really fun experience. Then my mother's dementia kicked in really bad, and they had to sell. They had like a vacation house in like Maine, and my dad's a retired urologist. And this is sounding like a psychology thing all of a sudden. So she couldn't walk upstairs anymore, and it was dangerous for us. I was like, you can't. I was like, Dad, if you know anything about doctors, like there's certain types of doctors. My dad is the type of doctor to have. He had 4 lawnmowers and like sheep and lived on a farm. And he's like mowing, like the weekend was mowing lawns. Like for me growing up, it was mowing the doctor's lawns. You know, I mean, we had the big gang mower on the back of a John Deere. Then we had another mower for this lawn and another mower for that. So then I was like, Dad, you're in your 80s. Like you can't. And then COVID hit and he got throat cancer. And I was like, Dad, he's still mowing the lawns, you know, anyways, I don't know. So they had to get rid of that house. So we sold this house. We moved to Maine. That was 4 minutes from the ocean in Kennebunkport, Maine, which is like, I don't know, probably full of stereotypes and charcuterie board people on the beach and stuff like that. And George Bush and every picture you've ever seen of George Bush fishing was taken from my dad's boat because he's a captain and has a sport fishing boat that he charters as his hobby for like the last forever. So the press secretary used to rent my dad's, but that's a whole nother story. The Pentagon calling and the Navy SEALs diving under the boat and all this other stuff. So we lived in Maine. That was cool. That house finally had 2 bathrooms for all the kids. The kids used to always share 1 bathroom. So when you have 8 kids and they share 1 bathroom, it's like Danny Noonan's house from Caddyshack at the beginning. They're like, Danny, saw me naked, you know, where all the kids are fighting over the bathroom. That's what it's like. And so when we picked that house, we made sure it didn't have like all these extra family rooms and everything. We just made sure rooms and living room. And I think that was the right size. But then, you know, my mother passed away and it was like, okay, we're just kind of here in this place. We're not around our friends and our community anymore. We're going to sell this house and we're going to move back. And so this time, I was like, okay, all these other houses are 4-bedroom houses. And this is a long story. I'm going to try and cut this short here. We're like 4-bedroom houses and they're $750,000 because it's after COVID and all the real estate prices went up. Like, this is insane. So I picked a 2-bedroom house.
Oh, yeah.
I picked a 2-bedroom house that was like old, but with a huge property and a barn on it. no problem. We're just going to make an addition. What we're going to do is we're going to remodel the basement right away. Honey, we'll have the master bedroom in the basement. We'll put two sets of bunk beds in one room. We'll put two sets of bunk beds in the other room, and we're going to downsize, and it's going to be great. Well, that's where we're at today. Oh. And we've got, every shade is destroyed. We've got, somehow a kid will find a way to make a bouncy ball break a window. How is that possible? So they're bouncing balls. What do boys do? Boys like take a bouncy ball and throw it as hard as they can at the top of the stairs, and it goes boom, 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 hitting every stair, hitting the wall, hitting the ceiling, hitting the, And then at the very bottom, it takes a perfect 45 degree trajectory, hits a little square window, and smash. And I'm like, how did you do that? So now we've got a manila folder folded up like four times, duct taped over that window, because I just haven't had time to go get a piece of glass cut to fit this little perfect thing. And really, I'm probably just going to rip that whole door out and replace it. And that's a Home Depot weekend. I don't know. That was just me.
That's been my last 3 years. I just, I finally got the right sized house. 5,000 square feet was too much. 1,300 was too little.
Yep.
3,000 square feet is just, it could be a little bigger, but it's just about the sweetheart zone. So,
but how big is the backyard? So you probably make, what you do is you make something fun in the backyard.
7 acres.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You're good. Heck yeah. You're going to do some kind of Frisbee golf course or something. I don't know. Get out of the house.
Yeah.
That's why I barn. So I took the barn and it's almost 2,000 square feet. So I redid the inside of the barn for the kids. It's like, who does that? A guy with 8 kids. It's like, I need to make the barn. So we're like, just get out. Just go to the barn. So I epoxied the floor. They've got rings in there. I bought jujitsu mats. So we've got 2-inch thick mats, and I go in and my girls know gymnastics all of a sudden. I'm like, they're doing handsprings and flips and stuff. And I'm like, this seems dangerous. Like, watch your neck. Like, how'd you learn that? They're like, YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome.
Anyway,
that is the way to do it. The only downside of the new place is there's these little insects called noceums.
And I don't know what that is.
They bite. They're smaller than mosquitoes, and you literally can't see them, and until you've been bit, and then you're like, oh, this sucks. They get in your ears. They get in your hairline.
Utah.
Yeah, yeah.
Weird. I lived in Colorado for a long time. You'd think they would be there too, but
it's only in certain areas, and I've made it my new life's mission to, because apparently you don't go out of your house until June. When the noceums come out. So
there's no spray. We don't have any chemicals for that or something. You'd think there'd be some guy
definitely, we've got the technology, Phil. We're going to fix it. So.
Some kind of,
drones. I'm thinking causing drones with AI. Yeah. I'm not buying an insecticide unless AI is in the title. Because if a vendor's calling me today and they don't have something with AI in their title, I'm not taking that call. So.
Well, you have to move to AI because I read about it in Time Magazine.
Right. I saw it in the Sky Mall. You gotta have AI.
Yeah. Brandon, what are we doing for AI now? Okay. How's this going to help us out with the construction stuff?
Okay. So we just fired up Copilot on our SharePoint site that has all of our SOPs in it. So now our field employees can say, hey, can I take drugs when I'm at work? And Copilot responds with, well, not only is it not a good idea, but it's not in your company's policies.
That's pretty sweet, actually. Please tell me a little bit about that. So yeah. So did you really upload company policies and procedures? Now it sounds like you're in HR. See, IT can do HR.
I don't know.
That's how it happened to this guy. Seriously, that is how it happened to Paul Yeader. But Paul Yeader, I can't, we need to get everyone on a show. We need to do our own rapport, Dissecting Popular IT Nerds rapport, where just all IT people get together or something. I'm thinking not everyone surfs. I don't know what we could do as an event. I'm a non-drinker. I don't drink, so I would never take anyone to a drinking event or, God forbid, strip club or something like that, vendors try to take us to. Yeah, do you know how many guys I've known over the year? They're like, I just like the vendor world's crazy. And I come from that world. So
last episode we talked about, is see your C managers are getting enticed to.
Yeah, that's right. I told my wife about that. I told my wife about it. I was like, hey, honey, be careful. You know, you should be happy that I'm not in a C-level position somewhere in an office because these guys tried these crazy things. They tried these crazy, crazy things. I mean, not, I mean, even Trump got, you know, bit by it. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know, whatever that lady's name is that's making a fool of herself in court. I don't know. The whole thing's a circus act. It's amazing. It's amazing that, isn't it amazing after what we're running and how you're running an organization and how important it is and how important it is to have rapport and a mission statement and a vision statement. And I look out at the world sometimes and I'm like, what the hell? I don't know if you do, but I just, you know, I'm like, no, man, we just all need rapport training.
Yeah, it would be fun because when you graduate, they say you're part of the 3%. So
I'm down. So I'm not going to click on anything because I see on their website, there's like some kind of like refer a friend or something like that. Refer a podcast guy. So you can nominate me. What do I need to take? There's these courses, leadership breakthrough two, power communication, breakthrough safety. Who cares about safety?
I would go
life
to
mastery, safety and construction. Who needs that? Health mastery. Ooh, I've got a crazy doctor right now, a really crazy doctor. I'm thinking of having him on the podcast just to benefit IT people.
I'll tell you what, Phil, you go to LB1, I'll go to your graduation and then we can compare notes.
Okay. I plan on being top of the class if they do rate people like that. I do plan on being a.
There is a sword.
There's a sword. You can win a sword.
You can definitely get the sword.
I don't care how much money they're charging. I'm going for the sword, bro.
Yeah, there is a sword. So, if that sounds like
oh man, I'm not going there right now on the jokes we can make about swords. But okay, I'm down. You're gonna come to my graduation.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. Sweet. Is it out in Utah? Do I have to go to Utah?
No, they held it down in Vegas. And I think the reason why they fly in on a Thursday and they fly out on a Saturday is because flights are super cheap. Thursday and Friday are the sweet days to enter.
Oh, Vegas. That might be a deal breaker.
They do have their courses in other places. I think they have a schedule on there. It would just be really hard for me to make it to your graduation. But if you give me enough heads up, I could probably find a flight.
That's all right. We'll figure out how to sponsor this and do it as a write-off anyways. So it's a maybe. So it's a maybe. But 99% of graduates refer friends and family, 38 plus years in business. That means nothing. No, it means something. 35 countries reached.
It took my wife 20 months and then she said, you know what? I'm going to LB1. And then that happened. So
sweet.
So my son ended up going. He sent himself.
Heck yeah.
He's a 25-year-old who's grabbed life by the bootstraps and is totally owning it right now. So
maybe I'll bring my son too, because he's getting ready to join our internship program.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it good to bring a family member?
Well, I know at Whitaker, we send people one at a time.
Okay.
But I know that other companies that send two or three. And I think the reason why they do that is because how far out of your comfort zone do we get
when there's a family member there?
When somebody's there, we know.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you.
If my son was there with me, I don't think he would have, I think he'd have just, you know, got behind me. Depending on the size of the classes though, they have two work groups. You could definitely go with your son and he could be in the other work group and you could compare notes at the end of the night, you know, and that would be one way to do it. So
I'm with you. I don't know what we end on. This was a very important episode from a leadership and understanding people and connecting, discovering, responding with people, active listening. Whatever things can we throw out there? Quitting your stinking thinking. Oh, another Zig Ziglar line was, as long as you can help enough other people get what they want, you in turn will get what you want. Yeah, live life on purpose. You can start now. You can change your mindset literally now and live life on purpose now. What other things do we have from this episode that would be great to say?
Well, let's talk about your bucket list. So what are the two things that we see on a gravestone, or three things? They were born on this date, they died on this date, and then there's the dash in between.
Yeah.
So are we truly living that dash and the purpose that we wanted to, or do we want to do more?
Absolutely not. People are wasting complete time. We're stuck in the matrix. Absolutely not. It's a very easy answer. Very easy answer. I was just down in Florida. They call it God's waiting room.
Yep.
I mean, it's a lot of people are just stuck kind of. A lot of people just want to kind of like, I don't know, there's the what was the definition of like responsibility or discipline, right? It's holding off on something now or whatever it is for a greater reward later on or something. I don't, you know, you get the point. Like, I can't think of what that definition is exactly, but we probably use AI to pull that one up.
Well, the problem is tomorrow's not guaranteed, so I better get after it right now.
Yes.
Just focus and do it.
That's, so yes. I'm gonna give you the last word.
You're gonna give that, that's tough. Let me see what I've got in my list of
why are you being so hard on yourself? Why are you saying that's tough? Come on, it's easy.
No.
Why it's easy, Brandon. Why are you being so hard on yourself? Why are you saying that's tough? No, it's easy. Oh, I got this.
I'm looking at my course setting. I have a little course setting that I like to reference to make sure that I'm on track with where I want to go. Because like Covey says, to begin with the end in mind. So yep. I guess I can end with our smile is our logo. Our personality is our business card. And how we leave others feeling after having experience with us becomes our trademark.
Boom, done. I believe.